do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. Zinn covers the gamut from the essence of human happiness.
Having value is key to human happiness.
To the downside of venture capital for entrepreneurs.
Venture capital can be the antithesis of entrepreneurial spirit.
The essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
An entrepreneur without determination is truly an oxymoron.
Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Silicon Valley. This is where the transistor, a device that transformed the world of electronics and thus transformed the world where it was nurtured. Silicon chips, and hence Silicon Valley, became synonymous with high tech and generations of new marvels. But now American semiconductor manufacturing makes less money than the California wine industry. Great farmers likely earn more than all the people making computer chips. Yet China has an aggressive plan to expand their dominance in this same industry. Ray Zinn, the author of Tough Things First, has a bit to say on this subject, and it gets into international trade, public policy, and more. So, Ray, when did American semiconductor manufacturing begin to shrink, and what started this decline?
Well, good morning, Guy. Good to talk to you again. So if we look at the transition, I should say, you know, the moving from manufacturing in the U.S. happened in about 2001 after the dot-com implosion. Companies that were manufacturing in the U.S. began to move their manufacturing offshore. The reason is, of course, the implosion, as you would have, dot-com, caused most of these companies to reduce revenues over 30%. As a consequence of that, they had to figure out some way to cut their costs. And so they just ceased manufacturing in the U.S. because, again, manufacturing in the U.S. is more expensive in general, and the tax base is high here relative to other countries. These companies, you know, like Cisco and Apple and others, don't even have a U.S. tax base. They actually have other countries where they are sheltered by those countries' taxes. And so that happened in about 2001. We saw the big migration from the U.S. to these other countries. So, you know, just to give a snapshot of what the industry looked like prior to the dot-com implosion, about 60% of the revenue in semiconductors went to North America and Europe, with 35% going to the rest of the world, primarily the Pacific Rim. Then after the dot-com implosion, that switched. That went from 60% to more like 40%, 35 to 40% North America and Europe, and the 65% went to the Pacific Rim. And that changed the ball game completely. With that much moving, you know, companies had to move their employees, cut back, and these other countries began to pick up a lot of the business that that we used to have here in the U.S. manufacturing-wise, went primarily to the Pacific Rim, and now to India.
Well, it's kind of hard to argue with raw economics. I mean, reducing manufacturing cost improves profitability, at least in the short run. But what about the long run? What are the long-term effects to the American semiconductor industry by offshoring all of this manufacturing capability?
Well, you're enabling all these other countries to produce the product. And the manufacturing is the heart of the cost of the semiconductor, or at least in our product technology, is in the manufacturing. So in the past, you know, roughly 30% was associated with offshoring, but now it's more like 70% or higher is associated with offshoring of the cost of the product, at least in semiconductors. So as a result, you're moving all that value to those other countries, and that value is lost here in the U.S.
So in other words, the residual value, the economic activity that centers around manufacturing now is a benefit to local communities overseas instead of to the local community that's in your own neighborhood.
Exactly. And that's, I think, a real shame, because for every person you employ, you also help six or seven other people that are in supporting industries, you know, your hairdresser, your grocery store, and so forth. And so everybody suffers when you move that much of the manufacturing to those other countries.
Well, that's a particularly tough point to take in this election year, because we're at a point of labor force participation that's at all-time lows. A lot of people who would like to work full-time can't get a full-time job. So if the residual effects of investing in local manufacturing don't exist because we've offshored it, that's part of this structural unemployment problem that we have.
Well, and the tax base has moved offshore too. So, you know, the taxes that would have been paid in the U.S. and supporting U.S. Capability has been now moved offshore, and those taxes now are not available here. And that is kind of a double-edged sword, you know, and in one way it helps the company because it reduces their taxes, but the other way it hurts them because their infrastructure that they need, the growth that they need in their own, in the U.S. is minimized.
Interesting. One of the other things I'm worried about is technical prowess. With manufacturing, with moving so much of it offshore, are we as a country losing some technical prowess in that regard? And what does that mean for the long run for the American semiconductor industry?
Well, I mean, if you move the manufacturing offshore, you're also the technical expertise has to go offshore to support it. And you're enabling now these other countries to garner great capability, because at the heart of all electronics are semiconductors. And if you give away the heart, you know, you stop breathing, you know, start living. It's, I think, a condescending spiral we're in by giving away this technology to these other countries will prohibit our growth in a very important technology in semiconductors. You have China and Korea have publicly stated that they're committed to producing nearly all of their semiconductor requirements within their own country. And so where in the past they used to purchase a lot of semiconductor content for their products in those countries, that's going to go the other direction, where we'll only have a small percentage of our product going into those other countries. Now, that product does come back. In other words, the stuff that's built in China and Korea comes back and we buy it here, but that's not helping out our country. It's helping out their country. And that's what concerns me.
That is an interesting point. So what is the cure? I mean, very few people like trade barriers. And after the bank bailouts during the 2008 economic meltdown, people in this country certainly aren't favoring government subsidies of industries like the Chinese government is doing with the semiconductor industry. So what should Washington, D.C. be acting upon?
Well, we hope that at some point they're going to get the message that we keep exporting this technology, that this is going to hurt us in the long run. And we've got to move away from looking at everything in the short term and start looking at what's going to be the impact in the long run. You know, we do a lot about fighting diseases, you know, the Zika virus and so forth. We try to protect our country from those diseases. But the disease of losing our technology is not being protected. They seem to be ignoring it. And they don't seem to care. At least that's the kind of the word I get talking to the politicians that I've met, is they really don't care. And that's a real shame.
Well, and that's the role of the voter, is to make the politicians care. It's been said that politics is a game of pain. And if enough voters apply enough pain to politicians, they will respond. Things do change. Even the once dominant American semiconductor manufacturing industry has changed. If you learn nothing else from Ray Zinn's book, Tough Things First, it's how to anticipate and adapt to change in your business and perhaps even in your life. Get a copy today at Amazon.com or your favorite neighborhood bookseller. And as always, drop by the contact page at toughthingsfirst.com to find Ray's LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook contact points. It's a great way to stay tuned to Ray Zinn's wisdom every day.